show is a part of the Quite the Thing Media Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody.
This is Kim.
And this is Cal. And you're listening to Shiny Things.
What's shaking, bacon?
Oh, I can't believe we're already like in mid-November.
And I was surprised when my sister said she already bought her turkey for Thanksgiving.
But my grandma yesterday, she kept going on and on. She's like, your father says they might not have fresh turkeys till the week of Thanksgiving. And I was like, I don't care if it's frozen or fresh. Like, it's all delicious.
It's all, what's the difference between fresh or frozen?
That's what I said. I'm like, I don't know.
It's not like we're going out and chopping the head off of one of them.
Right. And my parents do have quite a few turkeys that hang out under their tree. So if I was quick enough and had like thick enough gloves, I probably could catch one.
We have them. They come down and they lay in the sun.
They lay under the tree when it's raining.
Well, that's smart though, but they lay down there by the fire pit in the sun and spread their little wings out to get the vitamin D.
Little, those things are huge.
Well, they look little.
Yeah, that's true. You're far away from it. I'm like, holy shit, look at the size of that bird. And then the dogs are barking at it. And I was like, yeah, like you do something about it. Sit down and relax.
Yeah, you can see them thinking, just like when they bark at the deer. And the deer standing right in the front yard by our bird bath, and they're at the door, and they go outside and they bark, and the deer is like, go away, you bother me.
Yeah, they're like, really?
You think you scare me? You're a little bitch, look how big I am.
Yeah, Pickles tried to chase, there's this like cat, he's just a big pain in the ass, and the neighbor stopped me. I was coming home from lunch one day, and he's like, that Pickles, man, he just like chased this big ass cat out of our yard, like he could rolling him up the hill and chased him through the woods. And I was like, well, now we know he likes your cats because he doesn't do that to them.
That Pickles has an agenda.
He does.
He's like the enforcer in your neighborhood.
He is. He's like the mall cop. We just got to get him a little Segway he can ride around on.
I can see Yeti on a Segway.
Yes, but with a helmet.
Yeah, a blue one.
Yes, to match his little blue collar that will have a little bell on it so we know he's coming.
I know, I still have to make your collars.
Oh, right, that we've had that on our to-do list. We have a lot of stuff on our to-do list.
I've had that on my to-do list since we started doing this. But
well, wait a minute. This is our 1 year anniversary coming up on the 10th.
It is.
Whoop, whoop.
I can't believe it.
I know. It doesn't feel like a year, but it does feel like a year. And we've learned so much.
And have so much more to learn.
We do. But it's been fun.
It has been fun.
There's been many tears. And there's been
a lot of tears, a lot of screaming, tons and tons of curse words.
Oh yeah, I think I ran out of fucks a while ago.
A lot more laughs than there were like crying.
Right, there were like things that we thought were catastrophic, and then we're like, oh, we fixed it.
Well, you know, I have to say, when we were doing that the creep off, which I'm not sure everybody even attempted to vote, but I kind of think I already know you're the winner before anybody even votes. But remember what we're going to do about your favorite quote from The Sopranos.
I know you guys got, well, we'll put a post up and then you guys got to answer if you guys want free shit.
First one, is it the first one that gets it right or what?
I think the first five should get it.
I think so too.
Or we do like one of those raffle wheels.
I think it just depends on how many people actually answer it, but at least five people are getting a prize.
But right.
Listen to, what episode was that?
Peter Fabiano.
Ah, the Peter Fabiano
Halloween podcast.
Kelly says what her favorite line from The Sopranos is. So you're going to have to answer us in our Facebook post to tell us what it is. And then we'll put your name down for a prize.
I actually said it on my way home today.
Oh, you did?
There was a driver that looked at me.
That would be so funny.
My brother was like, yep, keep going.
Anyway.
So today I'm going to tell you the story of Jasmine Richardson.
Okay.
I had never heard of her. And I was shocked and appalled after I had. So this story starts on your average day in Medicine Hat, Alberta, Canada, on April 23rd, 2006. Well, that was until the neighbor boy went to the home of the Richardsons, where he wanted to see if his friend was available to come out and play. When the boy arrived at the house and knocked on the door, nobody answered. So when he went around, you know, just like every other little kid, you know what windows they're hiding behind and stuff like that. So he goes in and he looks and he sees a body laying on the floor.
Uh-oh.
So he runs home and he tells his mom, and he's like, this is what I saw. And of course, she quickly calls the police. So Inspector Brent Sekundiak was the first to arrive on the scene. He looked through a basement window to see one body lying on the floor. At this point, he called for backup. Since he could only see the body, he hopes is a person that may be able to be saved. In reality, no one is home in that home is alive. Inside the home were the bodies of Mark and Deborah Richardson, along with their son, Jacob. Police were able to identify the bodies, everyone started to wonder where their 12-year-old daughter was. Because, you know, it's kind of like Gypsy Rose when you walk in and...
Yeah, she's a crazy little bitch.
Right. So Jasmine was 12 years old and they needed to know if she was safe. At that point in time, it never crossed any of their minds that she could actually be the culprit of this nightmarish scene. So Mark and Deborah were found in the basement. Deborah was killed first. She had at least a dozen stab wounds. Mark had been found with 24 stab wounds, and he had a screwdriver nearby. So the cops actually think he used that screwdriver to fight back. Which, I get, you know, if somebody's coming at you, and that's all you got to work with it.
Yeah, you're going to grab whatever you can grab.
Right. So the police move upstairs to investigate. Upstairs, they found Jacob laying in his bed. The bed was soaked in blood because the boy's throat had been slit open. Attention was quickly turned to Jasmine. Police immediately sent out an Amber Alert. I don't know if it's still called an Amber Alert in Canada. I was trying to search for that, but I couldn't. I thought so, but yeah, it's like North America, I think. So they sent out an Amber Alert for her. So at first, they suspected that she had been kidnapped or even dead, but this was not the case. Quickly, cops found Jasmine's online proclamations. The police changed their minds, and Jasmine was officially a person of interest. After another person of interest was her 23-year-old boyfriend.
How old is she?
12.
Oh my God, that's disgusting.
23-year-old Jeremy Steinke. So first off, how do a 12-year-old and a 23-year-old become a couple? Like, where do they even meet? So apparently the couple met at a local punk rock show. At 12.
She's 12. Why was she out at past 8 o'clock?
By herself. I was going to concerts and stuff when I was like a younger teenager, but I always had somebody with us.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, hey, here you go. Have fun. It's like, no. We're all going to sit and watch you. So the pair were considered goths. They dressed up in black and would wear heavy, ghoulish makeup, according to those who knew them. The pair were active members of a social media group that called themselves the Vampire Freaks. And Jasmine had the handle Runaway Devil.
Nice.
I'm like, as is 10. Could you picture Az doing this in 2 years?
No, because I think that you'll have control over your child.
It's like, God damn. Yeah. And then in the group, she told everybody that she was 15. But even then, for 15, I'm like.
That's a big age difference.
It is, but I'm like, no.
And one is an adult and one is a child, even if she was 15.
Right. So she wasn't just lying about her age. Jeremy claimed that he was a 300-year-old werewolf. And this little brat took it hook, line, and sinker. Like, who believes that?
Yeah, and I'm the Queen of Sheba.
Right. Kim, I am a 500-year-old vampire.
I knew that about you.
I figured you did.
Your little pixie persona didn't give you away, though, to most people.
And I had the fangs.
I've seen them.
Oh, yeah, they come out. They came out today. So, as you may have guessed, her parents were not happy about the couple's relationship. Not only the massive age difference, but the fact that Jeremy was a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So, if it was me personally, you fucking call the cops on this asshole.
The parents knew about this guy?
Yeah. Even friends.
And have him arrested for rape.
Exactly. Even her friends were like, dude, what are you doing? I would be a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
So, okay, before I get worked up, let's take a break.
I'm down.
Okay.
Hey guys, I just wanted to take a moment to gush about Anchor and how easy it is to make a podcast. First off, it's free. If it's free, it's for me. And who doesn't like free stuff? They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. So you can do it on the run, or if you're bored at lunch, you can fidget with your editing. Anchor will also distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast streaming networks. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Welcome, John, to our podcast. And thank you for taking the time to be on so we can hear a little bit more about Crazy as Crazy Does, the life of a serial killer.
Well, thanks for having me there, Kim. I appreciate it.
So how is the book doing?
It's doing all right. I mean, it's been out a little over 2 years. I haven't really advertised full force, but except for late.
Okay.
Views right now on Amazon, so it's doing all right.
Well, first off, I have to say how much I liked it. I couldn't put that book down. Kelly was the same way, only I finished it way before her. And I'm not one for, I didn't think I was, for that kind of a book, like the murderer and the serial killer thing. And honestly, your book, it kind of opened all kinds of doors for me. Because now I'm actually watching scary movies.
So, oh, that's crazy. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. So my first question, and it's like burning into my mind since I've read this book. Are you planning a sequel?
Well, I didn't originally plan for a sequel. I was going to actually, I don't know how much I should give away. I was actually going to, everybody was supposed to die. But then I said, I'm going to leave it open just in case.
I think that was smart.
Yeah, I think it might have been too, because little William keeps creeping in my mind and I keep writing little things down in the middle of the night when I wake up. I always have a notebook by my bed. And so, yeah, it might take a few more years, but it's definitely something that I've been thinking about lately.
So that's great, because I was really excited. What about, did you ever think of maybe a prequel? And dive into John's childhood and his teenage years.
Well, I mean, I kind of did it quickly. I mean, I gave you a little bit of what he was doing, but I wasn't going into more detail than the little bit that I did there. The prequel I was thinking of was starting when the kidnapping of William's mother and him with Chris. I was going to get into detail with that. Like, what did Chris do with them the 2 days he was missing before John caught up with him?
That's a fantastic idea.
you know, and that way it'll give a little more in-depth to William's sickness, where his is all going to come from. Because he's not the same type of serial killer as his grandfather. He's going to be a different one.
That's cool. Well, you know what? I'm trying not to give too much of this away, because I want people to be excited about it like I was and how Kelly was. But the ending blew me away.
I've been accused of making the ending a little bit too short, but it is a short. I try to keep it a short read.
Well, it's a novella, so.
I'm not a Stephen King novelist, but.
Not yet.
Not yet, right.
But you're definitely, I mean, it was fast, but it is a novella, like you said. It's a quick book. It's an easy read. But right. Honestly, that ending, it blew my mind. I didn't know where that was coming from. So it was definitely a surprise.
Well, that's good. That's the way I wanted it. So that's great to hear, you know, some live feedback besides a few people that I had given it to before I published it.
So, John, what inspired you to write Crazy Is as Crazy Does, The Life of a Serial Killer?
You know, it's funny you ask that. It's something that came to me like 20-something years ago. It was like 1995 after I watched Forrest Gump and how he went from one situation to the next and how, you know, he had real life issues in there, like with Elvis and the presidents and things like that. But I was watching Sling Blade and Copycat Killer and a few other serial killer movies that came out during that time frame. And I don't know, it just hit me like, what if I had a guy who ran into real life people and how that would affect him in his way of killing. And so that's kind of where that came from. And it just, and I would tell people about this, like, you know, what if he ran into Ted Bundy? What if he ran into, you know, this guy or that guy? And people would be like, that's cool. You should write it. You should write it. But I never really, I started to write it back in the 90s, but I never really had time. I was in the military back then, and I was always moving around, and I had a family. And now that my kids grew up and I had a little bit of time on my hands, I actually sat down and said, you know what, it's time for me. I'm going to write this. Because, I don't know, I started watching Mindhunters on Netflix and things like that, and I'm like, it's time to get it out now. You know, everybody's into serial killers again. I'm going to get it out now while it's hot.
Well, I tell you, as I read this book, I was in my head thinking, we did a podcast on that one, and we did a podcast on that one. So it was almost like it was even more, like, real.
But, right, and that's, I tried to keep it as real as I could.
It was a really good read, but I understand that you had a different name originally for the title of this novella.
Oh, yes, I did. It was called It's in the Blood. And but then I had to give homage to Forrest Gump, so that's why I changed it to Crazy Is as Crazy Does. And I also, I don't know if you noticed, but my last two chapters, one is entitled Crazy Is, and the other's entitled Crazy Does.
Cool.
So
did you...
Yeah, It's in the Blood, and then I also had Milk Cartons was the other one that... I was going to name it Milk Cartons because back in the day, they always had the missing persons on the milk cartons.
I remember that.
You remember that? Yeah. Yes.
I'm aging myself. So when you changed the title, did that influence you in any different direction to change the dynamics of the book? Or did it basically just stay the same?
It basically stayed the same. Actually, what it did is it made me change my last two chapters, Crazy Is as Crazy Does, and name them that.
Okay.
So the last two chapters were named something else, but don't ask me what they were because I can't remember now. I just changed to those. Cause, and it's fitting, if you don't you agree?
I do. Actually, your book is the first book like its kind that I've ever read. I've never been one for the serial killer and murderers and stuff like that. But it actually, it, you know what? It touches a different part of your brain, for sure.
I really appreciate that. And, you know, I try to cut some gore out at the end so people could sleep at night. You know, I didn't want to get too in detail with the severed heads and things like that. You know what I mean?
Well, I just really enjoyed it immensely. I did notice that I've read your acknowledgments, and it really, to me, it seems like your family is an extremely important part of yourself. Is that a true statement?
Yes, very much true.
That's nice to hear. I like the fact that your mom wasn't really one to read that kind of stuff, but she was supportive.
Actually, she still has it on her table. She can't get past chapter 5, so...
Oh, push through it. You'll love it, and then you'll want more. Wait, she'll read the whole thing, and then she'll be on you like I am about writing a sequel. John, is this your very first book?
It is, actually, yes.
Well, yeah. if that's how good your first book was, I'm sure that the second and third will be even better.
Well, I hope so, but you know, you can never beat the first one, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many screams are there now? The first scream is the best scream. The first Jason is the best Jason, you know what I mean?
I get it, but I just want to read more. I have to have another one.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm like I said, I am putting it all down for young William, and we'll see where that takes us.
Well, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to you. Is there anything else you can tell us about the book before we go?
I'm not sure what would you like me to say. I mean, I appreciate that you love it so much, and you know, I'm glad that people out there, there's a few people out there that won't get this book because you really have to be into the serial killers. I don't know if you noticed that or not. I don't mention names.
Nope, I know. That's why it was almost like a puzzle for me when I said, oh, I know who that was. We did a podcast. So it's like you have to use your imagination.
Yes, but I mean, they all are true people. Each chapter has a true person in it. And so if you're not familiar with the serial killers, you might not get this book. It's written for more of those people that are into true crime and they know exactly, you know, what I'm talking about.
Definitely.
But, I mean, even if you're a novice person and you're not into all the serial killers, you can still get something out of it because the way he meets these people and what those people do and how it affects him, you know, or how he affects them, you can see it. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
But it's better if you know who I'm talking about. You'll get it a lot more.
It probably is, but I think there's a lot more people like you and I out there than we even realize. You know, you have to have that certain kind of sense of humor and dark side.
Yeah, it definitely is a dark side. You know, if you like movies like The Seven Psychopaths and Pulp Fiction, then you'll love the book, I would think. But anyway, well, I don't know how I got off topic like that, but I appreciate, you know, you reaching out to me and enjoy. I'm glad you enjoyed the book as much as you did, and I hope other people will as well.
Well,
it seems like I'm getting more good stars than bad stars at this point.
Well, actually, we did our giveaways to our four people. Our last one was announced on our last podcast, and the three out of the four that we had have already read it and loved it.
Oh, awesome. All right.
The fourth one hasn't gotten it yet, so we can't count her.
Well, that's good. Let me know. I can always send you a couple more if you want to do another one.
That's so nice. So, you know what? I want to do it again when you have your next book.
Okay. All right. See, you're going to force me into doing it sooner than later.
Probably. Well, I'm trying.
I am a procrastinator,
I'm not going to lie. I am kind of trying to push you kind of hard, but I know everybody has other things that has to get done first. But we sure appreciate you coming on the show and doing a little interview with us.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you so much again for having me. I love it. I love your show. So.
Oh, thank you.
Definitely.
Get Crazy Is As Crazy Does, The Life of a Serial Killer at Barnes & Noble and Amazon,
where you can get it in paperback or exclusively through Amazon between November 4th and November 9th, you can get an ebook for 99 cents. So don't hesitate.
Okay, so now we're back. So this couple's forbidden love drove them closer together because all, like you always say, you got to keep your mouth shut because the more you rant and rave and you tell them that you don't like it, they're going to do it. Like, don't tell me no to another cat because I'll come home with two. So ultimately, the pair would talk about killing Jasmine's family to bring themselves closer together so that she could move in with Jeremy. So police found emails and all these other message exchanges between the couple. One such message was that I have a plan. It begins with me killing them and ends with me living with you. And that was Jasmine. While Jeremy replied, well, I love your plan, but we need to get a little more creative with the, with like details and stuff. So, okay. You know what? She can hate her parents and have a teenage moment and say those kind of things. But on the other hand, he should be like, don't worry, eventually, you know, they'll get over it. You know, like he could have said something else other than, okay, I like that. Let's plan it out. So in the days leading up to the murders, Jeremy wrote about the Richardson family in an online journal.
Online?
Online, yep.
Okay.
So.
And very quickly.
You know, and they're just, you know, so smart. So in the day, their throats I will slit. They will regret the shit they have done. Especially when I see to it, they are gone. They shall pay for their insolence. Finally, there shall be silence. Their blood shall be payment.
Okay.
It's like, dude, go find someone your own age.
How about this? How about sign yourself into a mental health facility? You got issues, buddy.
Right? Fucking psycho. So then the night before the killing, they watched the movie Natural Born Killers, which I'm sure you haven't seen.
I have too.
You've seen it?
Yes, I have.
Oh, good. So you know that the main couple are these two killers and they start off by killing her family.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jeremy would later be quoted to say that he thought that movies, that's the greatest love story of all time.
Okay.
I beg to differ. I like Romeo and Juliet, but teach their own. So the hunt was on for the pair. These two Nimrods were found approximately 80 miles away from the Richardson home and were arrested on April 24th, 2006. The pair were each charged with three counts of murder. The driver of the truck they were in, a friend of Jeremy's, was charged with an accessory for driving them and disposing of evidence. As soon as these two idiots got into jail, they started writing each other. Jeremy proposed and Jasmine accepted his proposal. Because, you know, she's in juvie and he's like, pound me in the ass prison. So, you know, I have no idea what he's thinking, but I want to be a 300-year-old werewolf. So it's like, yeah, I just can't even with these two. So then we're on to the legal portion because, believe me, you're not going to be happy with the outcome because I was fucking pissed. Because, and I'll explain too, because, you know, Canada's a lot nicer place than we are. So Jeremy, his trial started in November of 2008. So he sat in jail for about 2 years. On December 15th, 2008, the jury found him guilty on all three first-degree murder counts. In Canada, this is to serve three life sentences concurrently. So he got to serve all three life sentences at the same time. It wasn't like, say, you know, so he was eligible for parole after 25 years. He could get paroled after 25 years because he was doing the time for all of them at the same time, if that makes sense.
I don't have an idea. They shouldn't be like that.
No. Especially because he was old enough to know better.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to readjust. So, that doesn't seem right. He was 23 when the crimes took place. But, you know, he also thought he was a 300-year-old werewolf. So I wonder if they even gave him a psych eval, but they should have. Not that I don't think he was criminally insane. I just think he needed some help beyond just getting his ass beat in prison.
Yeah, sounds like.
So then Casey Lancaster, she was the idiot that was driving the truck. She took a plea deal and received 1 year house arrest for her part in the crimes, which ended up being like a obstruction charge.
Wow. Okay.
Canada, I'm telling you, man. Canada.
Not much of a criminal system in Canada, do they? Well, we don't really hear either, so.
Well, here's what really grinded my gears. Jasmine, for some reason, her trial was held earlier than Jeremy's. And here's the thing. In Canada, the Youth Criminal Justice Act, Jasmine's name from being used or in public or published anywhere since she was a minor. So they had to use her initials. So the same act made it so that 12-year-olds are the youngest possible age a person can be to be tried for a crime. And anyone under the age of 14 cannot be charged as an adult and cannot serve more than 10 years in prison.
Right. That's insane.
And my thing is, it's like, you know, they might not know better, but that's not enough time.
I agree.
So on July 9th, 2007, she was found guilty on 3 counts of first degree murder. She's believed to be the youngest person in Canada to be charged with such a crime. And then on November 8th, 2007, she was sentenced to the maximum penalty of 10 years. She would actually end up spending about the 18 months before trial would count towards her 10-year sentence. She then spent 4 years in a psychiatric facility, and she finished the last 4.5 years under conditional supervision in the community. Yep.
Okay.
So to me, this is not okay. I mean, you know,
on the community who had like custody over that little psycho.
Well, here's the thing. So in September, so I looked up to see what she's up to nowadays. In September 2011, she was attending classes at Mount Royal University.
Now, what I wonder if she was using an assumed name or something.
I guess today she still has the name, but she just lives like this totally secretive life out in Canada. But yeah, so that's all she got for what she did. And they're pretty sure that she's the one that killed her little brother.
Probably. I mean, even if she didn't actually do it, she did it, you know?
Just so sad. But at least she got some kind of actual punishment. I mean, look at some of the other cases we've done where they don't get anything. Or the people who actually didn't do anything get more sentenced than the actual criminal.
True. How long was he in prison for?
He's still there.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, did he get out too?
Yeah, he won't be up for parole until like 2029, I think. Or no, so he went to jail in 2008. So it'll be 20 years, 2028.
Yeah.
So he's still got a while, but I don't foresee a jury of his peers saying it's cool for him to just.
Well, I hope not, but you know, stranger things have happened.
Well, I mean, if he's getting psychological help, it might be like one of those things too, where it's like they, you know, there's that show Killer Couples, and it's almost like when it's like the universe just puts these two people who are fucking normal as shit, and then they get put together, and then it's like a fucking bomb went off. But then yeah,
they basically feed off at each other,
right? And then afterwards, they're completely fine to just go about their lives and.
I just don't get how somebody can take someone's life and then just go about their business.
Right. And they were like, when they pulled them over, they were like laughing and stuff. And they had literally just killed these people not even 12 hours ago.
Makes you wonder what goes on in some people's heads.
Because I would be like, oh my, I'd call the cops on myself. Let's be honest.
You'd tell on yourself?
Oh, I would totally tell on myself. Be like, I don't know what to do.
Live with that. Like, how can you live with that?
Especially if it was an accident, I would be like, because I hate that, like, when they're like, it was just an accident. It's like, then call the police.
Or it was self-defense.
Right.
Self-defense.
I hit her in the head with the shovel because she came at me. Because she didn't have a weapon. Yeah, but she's taller than I am.
I was scared.
I was scared for my life. And I'm so tiny.
And I'm on PMS. And there's no chocolate. No chocolate or liquor.
Right. And it was just a snow shovel. It wasn't like a real shovel.
It's not funny.
It's not funny, but that's what my defense.
People know now that we have an odd sense of humor.
We do. And like I said, I'd call and tell him myself.
Little narc.
I know. I wouldn't be like this Landry. Actually, it's funny. Like all of the, that whole laundry case, it's like, I haven't heard shit.
No, it's like it just fell off the face of the earth. It never happened. I'd like to know what he died from.
Because the last thing I was reading, they suspect that he killed himself before the manhunt even.
I knew that was going to happen, Kelly. I said that.
Yep.
Because he's a coward.
And meanwhile, it's like, then don't even go home. I would have been like, Mom, I need you to wire me money. And then I would have went to somewhere fancy and just lived my life. Well, but then again, I'm not going to kill anybody, so.
No, I should hope not. That wouldn't be good.
No, and I don't look good in orange, so.
So next week, we're having our episode of Nicole and Ariana Fitz.
Ooh, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, that was the Nicole was, it's an unsolved murder, and her 3-year-old daughter is still missing. So that's a good one.
I know. But yeah, so happy anniversary.
Thank you. Same to you. 1 year and they said it wouldn't last.
I know.
Hey, was there any ever a time where you didn't think it was going to last?
Not really. Like, there was always like that, I'm like, oh, maybe we're just doing too much. We should only do 2 episodes a month. And then it was like, and then the next week I'd be like, we're not doing enough.
Yeah.
I think we were both on that roller coaster and it seemed like we were peaking at different times.
I think so too. I never felt like it wasn't going to work. I just really thoroughly enjoy it.
I know. And you did so amazing. I love last week's episode. It was just so good. That's, you took a lot of time. I know. We got everybody get out there and vote. We'll Twitter retweets things. So we'll put them back up and you guys have to vote. Because right now I'm winning.
Fun deal, Kelly. There's no way I'm going to win. Yours was so bad.
If it was by looks, your guy would win.
True.
My guy, I think what's scariest is that he looks like a little unassuming grandpa.
Yeah, he did look like very nurturing.
Right.
But he wasn't.
Nope. He's a sick fucker.
So anyway.
Until next time. Bye.
Find us at patreon.com/shinythingspodcast. Follow us on Instagram at shinythingspodcast. Find us on our Facebook group page called Shiny Things Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at ShinyThingsPod1. You can email us at ShinyThingsPodcast@gmail.com. Don't be shy. Use any of our social media to send us show ideas, some love, or share additional details we may have missed. Remember to like us and give us 5 stars on your favorite podcasting platform. Until next time, thanks for listening.